Thank you for tuning into Unlock Me today's live event series, where we are conversing with thought leaders, founders, and CEOs about their journey and how they are unlocking the true potential of folks around them. Evening, afternoon, and morning, based on where you are from. This is your host, Prashant. And before I get any further, I would like to emphasize the purpose of this event. We aim to unlock the true potential of folks who are in constrained environments, maybe not able to get enough time to connect to their role models, maybe unable to break through their extremely preoccupied mundane life, or maybe the internet buzzwords are adding friction to harness positive changes. No matter what the reason may be, there is value in staying towards the end of this event. And today's topic and discussion is how to get more customers in 2024. Our guest speaker is Chaitanya Bailey, who enjoys being a lifelong learner. When an opportunity presents itself, he raises his hand and then figures out how he's going to accomplish what he has signed up for. This habit ensured he acquired patents in imaging and pattern recognition, sound engineering, and agriculture. An ex-employee of Deloitte, sum total with corporate experience, and now with Index Strategy Consulting Private Limited. Chaitanya, welcome to the event. How's it going?
Awesome, Prashant. Thanks you so much for this introduction. Thank you.
Chaitanya, I'm so glad here we are talking about this subject. So Chaitanya, what is it? Why you wanted to talk about get more customers in 2024? Please elaborate and help the audience.
Sure, Prashant. So, you know, I'm a consultant. Mm-hmm. Now, there are four layers in which business is done. Mm-hmm. The first one is what I call the unlimited followers.
Okay.
So these are people who always say customer is God.
Mm.
So apart from your skill with what you do, if the customer says, I want a cabaret dance in a restaurant, you will have to get it. The margins are wafer thin.
Mm.
The second is the limited leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where there are a certain set of people who enjoy leadership for a certain market condition.
Okay.
Like the hand sanitizers during COVID. There's a situation, so they made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain situation, people make money and then they get out.
Yep.
The third one is the limited followers.
Mm.
Now, this is a category of business where which do well and nobody wants to see them. Nobody wants to ever get to business with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lawyers, the mm-hmm. police, the doctors, mm-hmm. all these. The fourth one are those unconditional leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every city has some restaurants. No matter what is happening, probably there's a bomb blast happening next door.
Mm-hmm.
These people are busy standing there and eating.
Mm.
So now, there are so many businesses in every city who are in that space.
Mm.
But the only thing they do not know is how to get the sale done.
Mm.
The product is brilliant. The service is brilliant. And they are bleeding because they do not know how to get their customers. The product is really good. The mm. service is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I can do some bit of education to help such folks who are struggling with sales and getting customers.
I too agree with that, because in this down market, there are companies who are flourishing as well. There are businesses who are flourishing as well, but not to the true potential of itself. As you said that the product is good, service is good. But, is acquiring a client a function of one's mindset, or it is market shifts? What do you think about it?
Sure. So, you go to any entrepreneur, all right, mm-hmm. and ask him, what is the difference between a customer and a client?
Okay.
That's and 90% of the time, they fail to tell you the difference.
I am interested to know this.
Okay. A customer basically is a commodity,
mm.
like salt, like pepper,
mm-hmm.
and bread.
Mm-hmm.
So, the difference is the moment your competitor reduces the price by a few hundred rupees, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times, customers are transactional value. They come to you for one transaction and then they are gone.
Okay.
Whereas a client is under your guidance, protection, and advice.
Mm.
Which means that you are looking long term.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look long term, there is a lot more at play. So it is not some story that you will utter to get that few dollars out, but your reputation is at stake. You know what you say will be held against you. So you take responsibility to the advice that you provide and you grow with them.
Okay.
And most of the time what happens when the client mindset is that you make a client, you make you help them thrive, and then people see them thrive and they come to you. Now, it's a mindset. The moment you see long term, the moment you see how you take the game long term, you win.
True that. Because, you know, you are also showing success as the outcome, and people will be able to relate to that outcome. That, hey, you know, we did this for this client for long and he's successful, and you can also be successful if you follow the blueprint or the tips, suggestions and insights, what one can provide and in this thing. But, you know, is it in a science to acquire customers, or how do you do it, or how do you help your clients? Why don't you share some recent stories or, you know, case studies? What do you have got?
Sure. This is going to be a long answer, Prashant. but I'll break it down.
Sure.
Now, at any point in time in business, at any point in time, there's only 3% of your ideal. Okay, first. 99% of the businesses that I meet do not know who their ideal client is.
The ICP.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is a mistake I made. So I started off with high-end augmented reality, mixed reality. I would go to every bloody shop, every place and say, I want to do this. Okay. And they would watch my products in awe with, like, probably they have forgotten how to breathe. But nobody would take out money from the pocket because it's expensive. One, two, they would not believe that they would be able to sell it to their audience. The moment that belief does not happen, the sale is not happening.
Right.
Now, the second thing is that at any point in time, 3% of your ideal customers are in a buying mode. 3%. Then 17% of your ideal customers, clients, are searching. They have not made up their mind. They probably have made a budget allocation, but they have not identified where to buy. 20% of your clients are feeling the pain, but they do not know what to do. They know they are bleeding, they are hurting badly, but they don't know what to do. Then the remaining 60% are numb to pain. So, which means they are going extinct in the next 1 year. Now, what is the market doing? What are companies in the world doing? Is they are shouting on the top of their voice at the 3% who are willing to buy. Buy it from me. So, what happens then is your net funnel for capturing is becoming extremely small. And because your net is very small, you make compromises, and a chance that will give you a client, you will make it a customer, because you make a lot of wrong promises. This fellow has come in and some of your promises fall flat, and that will be the only transaction you will have with them. And you will also carry a bad name. But what you have to do is expand your funnel to educate the remaining 37% of the people that are looking and the ones that are feeling pain. Now imagine, if you think these people who are feeling the pain are small, no. They are big corporations. And this discovery came to me as an accident.
Really?
Okay. In a very, very, very unbelievable way. So, what happened was, sometime in August or September last month, some random trainer called me looking at my generative AI word on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And she said, see, there's a cement company who wants to understand generative AI. Can you do a 2-hour session?
Okay.
I said, yes. So And I didn't know who the audience was. So I randomly started doing the sales. How can generative AI help sales?
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes into the conversation, their vice president of sales calls me and said, so this conversation is over. We see value. We are doing a three full day conclave in Goa, but we will extend it to 5 days. Why don't you come there and do your 2 day session? We are interested. Now I was surprised because I didn't even go through half my content and they're asking me to go to Goa. So I never been to Goa. So I said, all right, okay, that's good.
It's Goa time. Right. Yeah.
So they give me a good, so they set my tickets and then I go there.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before I am supposed to do my training, I go shake hands with the team and I find all of them are Harvard's, IIM's, ISB's, like all big names.
Okay.
Now,
uh-huh.
I am zapped. I'm only an engineer. So what am I going to teach them? But anyway, since I've accepted the assignment, I said, all right, let me go. And then I started defining the ideal customer profile.
Mm.
I use ChatGPT, but I started defining their ideal customers and I started showing what the aspirations, frustrations, and motivations of the ideal customers are.
Mm.
And I opened their Facebook engine and then showed why the sale is not happening.
Okay.
They have amazing products, but they're writing to the entire world.
Mm.
Now, if the entire world is your customer,
mm-hmm.
nobody is your client.
Got
it. If the entire world is your market, nobody is your client. Nobody is paying you money.
Mm-hmm.
And in half an hour, so maybe half a day, what I did was I opened up the ideal client. I established their aspirations, motivations, frustrations, the mistakes they make and where they spend time. And I wrote my first marketing message.
Mm-hmm.
And the vice president of sales came back and said, are you ready to give a service?
Mm.
And something else magical happened. Until then, my monthly monthly fee for a client was about 2 lakhs.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed up at 10 lakhs a month and not a question was asked.
Mm.
Not a single question. Because most of these people that are seeking your service, people who are looking at this pain point are not aware of why their sale is not happening.
Mm.
So you make it a science.
Mm.
You show them why sales happen. You tell your customer why they are in pain,
mm-hmm.
and elevate the pain.
Mm.
Elevate the pain to a point to say, okay, the solution I have is your only solution.
Mm-hmm.
Sales happen.
Yep.
And in sales, when you speak the right language, there is no constraint of price.
Correct.
This is theory-wise, I knew this. But from that day, I have started closing sales left, right, and center.
Mm.
So ask the right questions. Elevate their pain to say that this is the only solution. Ask them questions. Ask them questions and they will convert.
Mm.
The second thing that I've realized
mm-hmm.
is that price is never, never, never a constraint for a sale.
Okay.
The sale does not happen when the perceived value of what you provide as service does not meet your price point.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Sure. The sale does not happen and goes into an objection
mm-hmm.
when the perceived value of the service you provide
mm-hmm.
does not match your fee.
Mm. Right.
Now, imagine this. You go to a client.
Mm-hmm.
You show them why their sales is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You show them that their entire marketing team is not able to craft that one message that hits the nail on the head.
Mm.
And you show them how you do it in half an hour. Why should a client not pay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he will see that this message is going to hit his customers on the head because he has had hundreds of conversations. He had talked to them. He knows their pain point and the sale has not happened. Now, if you make this statement, the sale is going to happen.
Mm.
So my point, again, let me come back to the objective of this conversation.
Right.
I see day in and day out, I see so many entrepreneurs who have amazing products, but their entire energy has been spent in creating the product, but not selling the product.
Yeah.
And if you look at the market, far inferior products are selling at a better price point than these people because they have identified the pain and they are selling a duct tape solution.
Yep. Yep.
So that is it. So if you know what these things are, a sale can happen.
But do you accept all your clients or do you reserve the need to reject a client or how does it happen? Like, say, for instance, you get an inquiry, you get into that and we talk about it. And how does it unfold?
Yeah. So again, Prashant, this is a solution. This is an answer that changed from August last year. Yes. So previously, I was very eager to take every client. I was eager to say yes. So though Deloitte taught me a lot about, you know, Deloitte is a snob.
Right.
After going through 9 months of due diligence, they will say you don't deserve us. And I gave that statement many times. I used to be a consultant there. Now, but I didn't learn the lesson. But here, what has happened is I realized that the more you become desperate to gather a client, one is you're making your own compromises. Two, seriously, this is a function of not you not being enjoying your own company. You're not happy with the silence that happens. And silence is full of answers. It is shouting on the top of its voice to say what you're not and what you are. And instead of listening to what your inner self is saying, you go commit and then show desperation. The sale may happen, but you are fully in pain. Now, let me give you an example of why that happens.
Yeah.
Let's say you convert a guy who is ready to pay you, say, $75,000 a month.
Okay.
And you are promising him, like, say, for instance, I will do your LinkedIn, I will finish your, Instagram, I'll do three channels. You, for this guy who has put that 1 lakh aside, that 1 lakh is a very big amount. So he will think that magic will happen the day you go online.
Right.
Right. So 1 month he will pay you because he has signed up. Second month he will say pay you saying that 8 month mein kya hone wala.
Correct.
Teesra month review ko bulayega. Bas 3 lakh diya main already. What is happening?
Right.
Now you will try to give some answer. He will listen to you reluctantly. Fourth month he is sleeping in your head. Because that 1 lakh is a lot. Because he is coming from a position of desperation.
Right.
If he is the abundant mindset guy, you will not have this problem. Okay. So what then happens is you will start listening to him more and providing your service less. You are not focusing on your client behavior and analytics, but you are worried about your client's behavior. How do you pacify him? Right. So if the mindset does not match, I am not taking them as clients. I will tell them right on their face, sir, you are not ready. These are the reasons why I believe that I will not be able to get you to succeed. While the market is full of opportunity, this is one mindset change that you will have to engineer in yourself. Trust me, Prashant.
Yeah.
The day you are able to make this statement with full confidence, clients will come behind you. They may not want your full service, but they will say, sir, can you tell me this bit? Can I improve this bit? How can I improve this bit? If this pain is resolved, I will probably be able to do some more. And I have had clients who have done that come back for service.
Yeah. I mean, why not? They will come back because you are addressing their pain points. And I think, you know, sometimes while people are budgeting for marketing, they are not thinking long enough. They think, as you said, that it's an immediate fix, that you give money to some expert, he's going to come on board and he's going to do the magic. But it's a plant what you're growing and the fruit is what you need. So you have to water it. You have to give sunlight. You have to give whatever it is required, so that it yields the fruits of success. And that's a process, and that requires a lot of listening to your customers, doing experiments, failing fast, and all those jargons what we keep hearing everywhere. But it's a process, true. What I believe too, Chaitanya. And sometimes, what happens is that the customers are there. They come for a transactional work for you. Mm-hmm. They reach out to you. Hey, can you just do only this part of it? And you may have a solution which will solve their problem, but they are only looking for a quick fix, maybe one part of it. How do you convert a customer in a long-term client? Because everyone here who is working in some kind of direct sales, indirect sales, pre-sales, post-sales, be it software, hardware, D2C, anything, we have these all customers, prospects who come for one thing. I would like to know your opinion and your experience into this particular aspect.
Sure. So, Prashant, by design, I have some capacity for pro bono. Okay. So that is my leverage to use against some of these opportunities. It also depends on the domain the customer comes from. Okay. Say, for instance, there was this company, it didn't work out for a different reason. But there was this company from the US who reached out to me on LinkedIn. Okay. And the founder was very passionate, and he was doing some personalized nutrition, right? So he would get you to do some tests, and they have a device that will sit on your finger. It's an IoT.
Okay.
And based on that, it is measuring all your stats and vitals. And then when you go to a restaurant, he will give you exactly what protein and what nutrition you should have. So you go to the cook, ask for something, and then you mix these powders and eat. It's a brilliant concept.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And the analytics they were generating was awesome. And the who is who of the US surgeons were impressed. When I saw this, actually, I didn't believe that this will work. But when they gave me the working model, and once I saw the analytics, I'm a maths guy. So the moment I saw the numbers, I said, okay, this is a $20 billion company in the next 5 years. I said, yes. And he only wanted a pitch deck out of it.
Okay.
Now, not only did I give him pitch deck, I gave him probably 10 other deliverables, which he will use it left, right, and center for the next 2 years with my logo at the bottom. Okay, two things. One, he might choose to delete it, which I cannot control. Then there is a morality problem. It's not a solution problem. Two, he will come. I might see the project did not go further because the partners he had were not visionaries. They wanted to try something. They wanted to stay in the comfort of their job and try something to spare a million, but didn't happen. But I am sure this guy will come, and he's not going to stop here. He's going to take the entrepreneurship route. And when he comes back, he's going to sign up with me.
Okay.
So this is what happened in the industry side. Now, when I was in Deloitte, so you know Yammer, right? Have you heard of Yammer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in Yammer, okay, by the way, in all my years of Deloitte, I didn't take one project Deloitte gave. I brought my own projects. So how I would do that? I would go to Yammer and look at a lot of these conversations that are happening between business managers and teams.
Correct.
Go, put your finger there, put your foot there, try to get some small work, get some pitch, some small pilot, and then convert that into a big project. Now, in each one of those projects, I always gave them 400 to 500% of what they wanted. And the other 400% was what they will use in the next steps. So what are you telling them is that, boss, I have created an opportunity not only here, but I'm also giving you the next steps that you need to take to take a bigger pie out of the client.
Right.
Now, these are big surprises that any customer wants.
Right.
So, without compromising on anything, without losing out on your self-respect, what else can you do to wow the customer?
More value. What value can you provide through that?
Yes.
Totally agree to that. And also, Chaitanya, okay, folks who are listening to us, you may raise your hands and we will take your questions in a few minutes. And if you want to DM us, So you can put a DM. Do not hesitate to connect with us. That's how you stay updated about our events and guests and get to learn and also get to see what they're posting and learn from them. So coming back to the topic, Chaitanya. So what I was saying is, now, this is very interesting that how you're converting customers into clients long-term, how you're giving them value proactively without their asking. When you have identified that the opportunity is there and I can provide them help, but they are not looking for it, but still going ahead and giving it to them. Now, this is now sometimes, you know, a lot of people, now this is a little bit sidetracked. A lot of people have this logical reasoning which comes in their head. The customer has asked for this. Why should I give them more? They should pay me. That kind of mindset comes up. So what do you have to talk, you know, what do you have to say about that?
Okay. So, this is a very good question, Prashant. I have a completely different philosophy to this. Most of these people who are talking about this have their resources on bench.
Right.
Now, what are you doing with your bench strength? You have to give them something realistic, right?
Right.
Rather than letting them sit, why don't you get them to do some real client work and say, okay, do this. Get this thing done. Let us over-deliver. Now, what is happening is you are setting an example for your team. So the team knows you are not only setting your competency, you are showcasing a testimonial of your competency, but you are also getting a team to believe that, you know, we are not those chindich will look only this much and try to cut edges. Sorry for the long, maybe that may not sound professional, but that's the attitude.
That's
the moment you leave that and become an abundant mindset, you know what? There are times when customers walk into your office and you do not even know where they come from. And they are coming from these additional pieces of work that you have done that has not been used. They have show this guy has showcased it somewhere else and they have seen value in what you are doing. Right? So do a little more. That does not mean you will cut all your budgets and do everything, but identify the next 2-3 steps and where are they going? What are they going to do in the next 3 steps? What is happening is that way you are actually trying to test your understanding of the domain. One,
right.
Two, you are showcasing your customer that I can think beyond the scope of your work, which means that, okay, every entrepreneur today has 100 gorillas on their back, each weighing him down. Right?
So true.
So, if you can show them that you are capable of handling a gorilla and he does not have to worry about it, you are the one picking the order.
Yeah. Having this abundance mindset, and also people call it the growth mindset. And, you know, you are in the market to serve. You are in the market to provide service or build the product and, you know, sell the product. So why not give them the taste of what all is there in the menu? That's the mindset which is going to get more people in your restaurant. And that's how, you know, in FMCG, you see, right? Sometimes you buy a talcum powder or a deodorant or a soap and you get something free. That's how they promote their new products and let the customers get a taste of it. Yep. I can totally connect to that, what you said. And we have a question, Chaitanya. I have a couple of more questions for you, but let's take Vipinder Kaur over to you.
Good evening, Prashant, and good evening, everyone. This is really a very nice topic, talk of the town. So thank you so much.
Sure.
So I really like Chaitanya's, you know, real life examples and in the story form also. So he presents in a very well manner. So I always have a question. He has presented in very all the, like, I don't have any question, but still there is something in my mind that I want to ask you.
Sure.
So the question is, Chaitanya, that how can businesses leverage emerging technologies and digital channels to expand their customer base in, like, 2024?
Awesome. This, Vipinder, thank you so much. This is a great question. All right. I will have multiple layers of onion to peel on this. Okay.
Sure.
So, okay. Now, when you say emerging technologies, there are so many technologies that people don't even use. Okay. Right. Now, so before you meet, can you let your reputation go meet your customer even before they think of you? Let me give you an example. Say you go meet, all of us go to meetings, all of us go to networking events. Now, everybody goes there and say, I am this, this, this. And without even batting, can you connect me to so-and-so? So the first question, how? So all these are autopilot questions. People are probably living in autopilot forever. They're not, they don't have the time to stop, pause, ponder and see where they are going. Now, can you break the pattern and say, Prashant, it was nice meeting you. How can I help you? Where can I connect? I'm not asking anything. Okay. Now Prashant is wondering, what the hell did I hear? Why is he not asking me for a reference? The second question. Oh, okay, Chaitanya, can you give me a card? I say, no, I don't have a card. Okay, Prashant, do one thing. I have this QR code printed on my sleeve on the T-shirt. Can you scan this? And okay, so what am I going to do, Chaitanya? No, scan this and see. Now you scan the QR code and on this, a beautiful booklet opens. A booklet of what I do, my services with video-based examples. And I will say, Prashant, you are in Bangalore. Would you want to hear this in Kannada? And then the whole booklet converts itself into Kannada. Now, imagine this. Prashant has met 1,000 people in the last 4 months, but nobody ever gave him an experience. Now, Prashant can forget Chaitanya. Prashant can forget that meeting, but he will never forget that experience of some random guy showing up and asking him to scan a T-shirt. In which he made an entire presentation of his business in a booklet with videos. Now, how many surprise elements does it pack?
Yeah, quite a few and very quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And then I say, Prashant, can I do something? Yeah, what is it? Can I send you this newsletter once in 15 days? You would say, yes, why not? Right. Now, Prashant may not have business with me. I may not have business with Prashant. But Prashant is running a talk show where a lot of big guys come. And they'll ask Prashant, what's new? What have you seen? I'm sure you will speak about this. And when you speak, you are speaking with conviction. You are not saying, Chaitanya, will you want to? You know, you should try working with him. No, you will say, I met some amazing experience. I have had a great experience. Why don't you talk to him and see what happens? And most of my international clients happened that way.
Understood.
Right? So, Vipinder, to keep the answer short, there are 100 ways of doing things. Small technologies, small QR codes, small mini web pages, mini mobile landing pages have not been used to 3% to 5% of their completed capacity.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chaitanya. I recently seen your videos also that were awesome. And thank you so much for sharing so many ideas what we can do with technology. Thank you, Prashant. Thank you, everyone.
You're most welcome, Vipinder. Thank you. And folks, show me some love here. You are listening to us. Is this adding value? Are you enjoying the conversation? Give me a cheer. Give me a thumbs up. All right. Thank you. And you have a question, you raise your hand and you're going to be up on the stage. Thank you. So moving to the next pointer, what I had, Chaitanya, is that life is very short. Lot of customers, lot of prospects keep coming, meeting. How do we organize the thing so that maybe the customer doesn't want you now, you have identified, but he wants to connect with you maybe after 6 months or maybe next year? How do you keep in touch with these prospects so that they still remember you when the need arises?
A bit of this, Prashant, I've answered in my previous question that Vipinder asked. Right? Now, you meet any random business guy. First question, if you ask them, where is your lead magnet? 99% of the people will say, I don't have a lead magnet. So how are you farming for your leads? Now, create a lead magnet. Now, what can that lead magnet be? Can be a booklet, can be a swipe file, can be a few videos, and probably be a newsletter, a newsletter with videos, a newsletter with changing content. Now, how difficult is it to get a newsletter which has the appearance looks the same, the real estate looks the same, but the content changes.
Yeah.
So when you get people something that will break their monotony and bring them to pause and listen, you will make those connections.
Got it.
And because a newsletter is something that keeps going out into the market, it keeps bringing back people to look at what you are seeing. And done. So, so imagine this, right? So, we anyway go to meetings.
Right.
And when we go to meetings, we give business cards. Correct? Why not give a business card which looks like a metal, which is crafted out of metal?
Why not? Sure thing. Yeah.
And on that, don't have anything on the metal card. Just give it a small QR code and ask them to scan it. And tell them, every time you see this, whenever you want to see something new, scan this and tell me what is loaded inside. So you are giving them an experience. Right? Say if you are a sweet shop owner, you anyway give a sweet box, right? On the sweet box, you have your logo and some random words, nothing that get the customer to come back to you. While you're giving them this sweet box, why don't you add one more step? After they get the sweet box, have one boy outside and ask them to scan the QR code. Why? Now, when you scan this QR code, you will have receive an SMS with a discount code for the next 45 days. Right? Then, along with it, there is a booklet. Now, if you buy semia from us, give me a recipe that you will use to make a sweet, and we will use this recipe in our video channel, or we will put it in this sweet box again. The next time you open this, your sweet will be on this. And when your sweet is selected, you will get 10 months of purchases free. Or 10,000 rupees worth purchase fee. Now, you will get a few thousand recipes, all of them user-generated. You didn't spend 1 rupee on it. And what you will do, as soon as you receive, you will do a contest, stamp it on your name because it is your IP. Say, Vipinder sent me a recipe. I would stamp it on my name and send it back to Vipinder. Now, what will Vipinder do? She will be very happy that a business house has recognized her recipe and make it the mission of her life to send it to all those people who are on her WhatsApp, Telegram, Facebook, Instagram. Without spending a rupee, you are sending it to an average of 2,000 people.
This is so cool.
This video is on your YouTube, user-generated content. And you will never have to do SEO in your life if you do this. So, as I said, every interaction with your brand can be engineered. So, this is wow. You know, give them those experiences. Give them those wow factor. Life is lived between moments that take your breath away. So, how frequently do you give those moments? Define how strong your brand is. So,
it's all about branding. It's all about thinking ahead of the time. It's all about using whatever you can to get the user-generated content. And that is very authentic as well. You don't have to spend any money, and coming from real people with the motivation and happiness of using your product and service. Absolutely stupendous, Chaitanya. And, you know, we scheduled it only for 40 minutes here, but happy to take any questions if anybody has. They can raise their hands. And, okay, we have a question. Krishnakant, over to you.
Sir, any example from pharma sector, please tell more about the marketing for pharma sectors.
Okay. Krishnakant, unfortunately, you are in a domain that is completely regulated. Mm. But you are one of the highest spenders in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So every product of yours has a specific budget. For many other domains, the entire company has a budget. Whereas in pharma, every product line has a budget.
Mm.
And every product line produces books. And by law, they are supposed to produce books. And you know what is the biggest pain point of pharma? You spend all the money in creating those booklets that nobody reads.
Wow.
Now, so what I did for Sanofi is this.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-pronged strategy, and that became my business because, you know, the ones I worked for did not use it again.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was all these pharma companies send a lot of these gifts to their doctors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Pens, pen stands, whatever. On each one of them, stamp a QR code, and when the doctor scans their QR code, you send product information. And because the product information is evolving every day, because there is so much testing happening, there is so much of product, people working on it, there are so many people giving you feedback, get those videos in there and then give them those videos to see. Now, that big makes it, imagine this, you have a pen stand on a doctor's desk, which is branding, showcasing your brand, but it has also become a private radio channel. It is no longer a dumb pen stand. It is a radio channel. And what can happen is, if you can give this user content to customers on a poster that you give, they are captive audience. You go to any doctor, you are waiting for the next half an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
So ask them to pick up their phone and scan a particular thing that the doctor would want to see. And you make sure that you give that, deliver that video there. And then all these kids that are making a noise are becoming frustrated because they cannot do anything, and the doctors will start interacting with that content. And then the pharma industry can actually find out what the younger population wants.
Mm.
You might engineer their interaction capacity also within the boundaries of the law.
Yeah.
Right? So one is that the corporate...
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Any ideas for the startups? Just like one formulation that I have been created. So that's why I'm asking those things.
Okay, Krishnakant, what we can do is, see, you know how to connect with me. Send a LinkedIn connection. Let's have a conversation, because it will become a very deep dive conversation and probably the others may not be interested in it. I'm more than happy to help. Just connect with me on LinkedIn and let's have this conversation this week only. I'll not also take too long to give you a time slot.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming up to ask the question.
Yeah, and you know what? These questions are so important. And folks, you can go ahead and connect and follow both of us on LinkedIn to stay connected. Do share your feedback. Chaitanya, what's your USP? Why do people hire you? How do you help them? You have told a lot of things, right? So you have told us stories and things. But how are you different than the other products, other services in the market? Yeah.
Super. Prashant, one thing is, I really admire the way you do these things. You keep it lively and it doesn't feel like that I'm in giving you an interview, but it's like a conversation between two old friends.
This is bro talk, the new term in the town, you know.
And it's what, 3 months since we met, right? And
yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. So Prashant, now based on you've been a corporate guy. So mm-hmm. for as much as you know, mm-hmm. what is a marketing team? Is it a profit center or a cost center?
Mm.
I'm asking your question.
Profit center. Yeah.
Marketing.
Oh, marketing is a cost center. Total cost. Right. Yeah.
Now, for me, anybody who works with me, each one of my clients, for them, marketing is a profit center after 9 months.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good.
So I put money into their pockets and say, rightfully, I'm taking what is mine. So if I put 20 lakhs for marketing, you're not spending. I'm putting 20 lakhs into their pocket and say, I will take 15 lakhs. Which client will object?
Right.
Okay. So now how do I do that? Let me give you an example.
Sure.
You know of these, you know marathons, right?
Yep.
And in marathons, by law, you are supposed to give a booklet. Correct? Now, Tata's at the TCS, the Tata board, has had a unique problem. Every time they do four marathons in India and they do about 12 or 14 marathons across the world. And everywhere the problem is the same. They painstakingly produce those videos. Tiger Shroff is their brand ambassador. Chandra is the chairman of Tata board. He comes and does an interview and the booklets are made. And the Tata Mumbai Marathon, which is run by 1.4 lakh people, picked up only 40 or 400 PDFs.
That's it.
And the problem that they have is, imagine this, 1.4 lakh people assembling on the Marine Drive, not knowing where to run. Because the government changes some things every time and you are handling chaos. So this was the problem statement. So what I did is I took their manual, converted that into a video-based book, where all the instructions are given in videos. So Chandra himself comes and tells them how to run, why should they run. Tiger Shroff comes the day before and gives the update. Imagine Tiger Shroff be playing the role of a news anchor. Comes in and tells you that the government changed these things and the run will happen like this. Now, the number went from 400 to some 48,000 or 49,000.
Wow. Right? Massive.
Okay. Massive, but still not enough. Given 1.4 lakh people.
Yeah.
Now, right? So, how do we do this? So, then when I started looking at what happens in the Tata marathons, I realized that there were like 25 people who have run the marathon for more than a decade, which means they have been physically active and they were loyal fans of the Tata marathons. So, I brought them in, took their interviews. Gave them two specific pages on which their interviews were posted. And then the number went from 48,000 to 6 lakhs.
Wow. Wow. That's
okay.
That's
yeah, approximately. So something around 6 lakhs. Not enough. Maybe for everybody it is enough. For a sucker, for opportunity and for some marketing guy, can we push this a little more? So what we then did was we gave exclusive versions of these magazines where the front cover was the runner. Now this went on fire from 6 lakhs to 29 lakhs in 2 nights.
Wow. Wow.
Because each one of these runners has a community of around 300, 400 runners. And they have already touched some 6,000 to 7,000 people in which who came in for training, but they were not serious runners, but they still had interactions. All these people have some 40, 50 people at least on their WhatsApp. The book went like wildfire. Now, suddenly we had like, you know what, 28 lakh, 29 lakh people seeing it. Then, what then happened was, a very strange conversation. I was trying to talk to one of the sponsors on the book. So he said, sir, every har ek saal 20 lakh dalte hain sir, usme kya ja raha hai, kya nahi ja raha hai, pata hi nahi chal. I said, so I will give you one space, would you want to advertise? He said, yes. Then I said, the exclusivity is that you will put this on YouTube, but the video will be dead. It will be accessible only through this book. He said, yes. Since I'm anyway spending, I don't mind. So they get a video of that and then we post it in this booklet. And then next day I told him, so many people have seen your video with this device from this location so long and so many times. And that he was amazed to say, okay, oh, is this? Can you give me the statistics? Can you give me the data? I gave him the data. And then the next thing I know is in the next 2 hours, the Seiko watch company is standing outside Tata's office to say, I want to place an ad on your book.
Hmm.
Right? So what then happened was we started taking people, Tata board put their ads, then Tata cars division started putting their ads.
Mm-hmm.
The energy drink people started putting their ads. Energy bars started putting their ads.
Mm-hmm.
And without our knowledge, the book shot into revenue.
Wow.
A book that was the most useless piece of the entire marathon ecosystem became the epicenter of the marathon.
Mm.
And then it started giving them revenues. Excellent. Because the ad cost something. Right.
Yeah.
So imagine this: you say you are a shoe company, like say let's say Asics,
mm-hmm.
and you have a certain budget, say 10 lakhs.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to place an ad in the Hindu or the Times of India or in the booklet where 1.6 lakh marathoners are running,
mm-hmm.
12 lakh people to 15 lakh people view the marathon?
Mm-hmm.
And another 60, 70,000 support the marathon. You are looking at around 15 lakh people getting in your ecosystem. Mm. Where would you want to place an ad? On the newspaper, you don't get anything. It's right. Just money down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, you will get analytics of how many people saw it, from where, how long, using what device, what is their demographic, psychographic, all that.
Mm.
So that's how. So I create these experiences, the booklets that store information with varied data, varied media, and then make that a viral thing. And then from there, I take collect revenues in terms of ads, and then I say, this is my percentage.
Mm.
So that's how I make marketing a profit center.
Very well. And of course, it will be a pleasure for someone to work with you when you are helping them make more money, not just customers, but clients.
Right.
Wonderful. Thanks. Wonderful, Chaitanya. Who else has got a question here? Anybody else who wants to have it right now or would like to? You can always ping us later. I have pinged the channel of the YouTube channel in the comments. Please subscribe to that to get the recording so that you can refer to this conversation. And Chaitanya, what are your closing notes?
Just keep listening to your customers. Look at what is happening in the technology space. And marketing does not necessarily have to be high spend.
Mm-hmm.
Only those people who lack imagination go for high spend marketing, not required. You just need to address one pain point of your customers. Have a lead magnet. Please remember this. A lead magnet can be everything in business. If you don't have a lead magnet, you are probably saying no to 98% of your revenue. So have your lead magnet ready and start spreading it across the globe. And then see, simple. You have 8 billion people. And you need 80 customers to get your life with. What is the ratio?
Wow, wonderful. A food for thought for sure. 80 customers you need out of 8 billion people. Very good one. The mindset abundance was my favorite in today's conversation, Chaitanya. And audience, did you enjoy the conversation? Let us know. Show us some love here. Give me those hearts. Give me those thumbs ups. Give me those applause, whatever you can. Chaitanya, it's a great pleasure talking to you. Conversations filled with value. We have audience who enjoyed this. And I want to thank you once again for being on my event. And folks, do not hesitate to connect with us.
Thank you, Prashant. It was a pleasure talking to you. And audience, thank you so much for being with us on a holiday, and thanks for listening in.
Thanks, everyone. Stay tuned. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Have a great evening, afternoon. Bye.